fun too.
Everyone can sing with together as we walk on by.
Family, and that's what we love about spending this time with you. So thank you for coming to play and coming to be with all of us. So today is exciting. First of all, we get another day to live, to love, and to laugh. Right, mm-hmm. Sabrina?
And that's exciting.
It is exciting. Yeah. It's very exciting. We've already been so busy today.
I know.
Wonderful things. Living life. Going to the gym, riding on the machine.
Working on emails, walking the dog.
Walking the puppies, eating the egg whites.
Oh, yeah, I made a really good omelet. It was, it sounds not good, but I assure you it was.
Oh, man, it was
good. I took leftover squash and smushed it up with leftover mashed potatoes and lentils and heated that up and used it to stuff an egg white omelet and then covered it with a little wasabi and miso dressing.
I like what Bonnie just said. She said, take that, Facebook. Nobody can say you can't play music during the concert. That's awesome. Yep, that's the case. We always have to play our royalty-free music when we're doing our Facebook Lives, but not right now. So, everybody, this is the VIP Club call. This is our Awakened Living Club. And many of you are already in our online dojo, and then many of you are here because you're participating in the VIP Club, where we meet once a month like this. We do this VIP Club call. It's about inspiration. It's about transformation. It's about saying yes to life. And we love to give you more tools, insights, different ways to engage some of the Satori Method products, different ways to reframe how you're just evolving through this journey we all call life. And we're looking for that awakened life, right? Like, how do we continue to upgrade the old story, the old self, connect the soul, birth ourselves through Satori, awakening, right? Have those breakthroughs in consciousness and then actually integrate them and implement them into our lives so we start living an entirely different life, the life that we're meant to live, the beautiful life that we deserve. So today will be no different than any other Awakened Living Club call. And we've got something fun for you. You know, Sabrina and I lately, we've been talking a lot in the dojo about things that you can do to upgrade your story.
You could have just finished the sentence with talking a lot.
We do talk a little bit.
We do. How do we never run out of things to say to each other all day, all night?
Because we're fired up about this life. And, you know, I think all of us here, we love the same thing, don't we? So Sabrina and I were talking today on our walk. We said, do you remember the day when we were little babies? No, it was a long time ago. And we were navigating some terrain in life, some challenges. And I remember being in Sabrina's bedroom. This is before we were married. We were at the more than friends phase.
Oh, yeah, we were living in this house.
No. This is before that.
Oh.
I'm talking about the story in your bedroom in the other house.
Oh, mm-hmm.
When
Ravello.
We were, yes. And I was like, wow, we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. And you just looked at me and you said, what matters is where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Are we coming from fear or are we coming from love? That's
right.
The only thing that matters right now.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day on, we've tried to make that our guiding light.
Yep.
Where are we coming from? Choose love.
Right. Yeah, am I making the decision I'm about to make from a reaction from fear in any way? Because it can be sneaky and tricky, right? Sometimes just saying, well, I kind of like things the way they are, if you really stop and think about it, is that the truth? Do you like things the way they are? And it's scarier to think about things being different. So I think I'll just stay exactly the way it is because it's, I know it, right? There's this, some joke, and I don't remember the joke, so I don't know why I'm bringing it up. But the joke is something about, you know, if you have like a bad foot and you limp, at least you're familiar with that limp, and it's familiar and it's known, and you know how to deal with it. And to think about changing is more scary than just go ahead and living your life with that bad foot.
Totally.
Because we become very comfortable with whatever life gives us. We might complain about it 24/7, right? And say that we wish it was different, but when push comes to shove, I always love to say this, for change to happen, change has to happen.
That's right.
Right? And that, for most of us, is very scary. Even if it seems like it's changed for the better, the thought of just being out of the comfortable, the thought of having to make conscious choices rather than just going with default programming is scary.
It's so true. So here's our agenda for today. What we want to do is not only talk about choosing love and coming from love over fear, but we want to share with you a really, really powerful process. It really is the essence of Satori Method. And we've got a couple of stories for you to give you some great examples so you can implement it. But it has to do with harmonizing the power that we all have within our conscious and subconscious mind. And it has to do with the stories that we're writing, that were written in the past, and the new ones that we're creating moving forward. But how to harmonize that upgrade, if you will, with the power of your superconscious mind. There's a big mind in this universe, right? There's a universal intelligence. There is a spiritual, omnipresent, beautiful energy that we can tap into. And it lives inside us, and it's all around us. That's what we mean by the superconscious. It's that co-creation where you're so tapped into who you really are and the essence of what's breathing you and living you and loving you. And at the same time, you have free will. You get to decide how the story is going to unfold. You get to shape that superconscious love into a spectacular life. And we want to share with you how we're doing that and some tools that you can use as well. Cool.
Yeah, and those three things that Tristan just mentioned, your conscious, your subconscious, and the superconscious, just like a real down-to-earth way to say that if you're not familiar with those terms, is the conscious mind is like your cognitive mind. I'm going to decide to do this. I'm actually going to think about it right now, and it probably is going to take some effort and some brain power. I'm going to consciously choose to do this. And your subconscious says, oh, you make the same decision every day, and you always pick red over blue, so I'm just going to take care of all that for you.
Right.
Or you go and work out every single day. You don't even have to decide if you're going to go. I know we're going to do that. So the subconscious is like your best friend ever, because as soon as you use your conscious mind to choose the right thing over and over, it says, it's like your personal assistant. I got that. I'll take care of that. But it's also the best friend of any habits that you want to change, because if your conscious mind keeps saying, I'm going to skip the gym one more day, I'm going to skip the gym one more day, it'll go, I got this.
Yeah.
We ain't going. We never go. I got your back, right? So it's like your best friend.
Totally.
But that super conscious, that's like some people might call that higher power,
right?
Source,
yep.
Soul, spirit. It's your connection up. Not habit. It's the opposite of habit. It's fresh. It's new. It's totally present. It wants only the best for you, not based on the past, not based on what
beautiful.
You usually do. It is your connection to what is the highest good right now.
Power of now.
For the good of you and all involved. It's your higher power connection. And the conscious mind sort of, to me, sits in the middle. And I don't want to make decisions without talking to that superconscious, without being connected to that higher power. So then the two of us can team up and make sure that my best buddy, subconscious mind, develops the right habit.
I love your analogies, and it's so clear. And I get it, totally. What a team, what a trio. But it's so important, because we can get sucked into those old habits. I get it. And like the conscious mind's going along throughout the day, and it often is choosing thoughts based on what the subconscious.
Because it's exhausting having to think constantly.
Oh my gosh, right?
Well, we couldn't. Oh, time to swallow that food I just chewed.
Right.
It's like, no.
So subconscious is taking care of business, but oftentimes you wonder, why did I choose that? I was just conscious. I was using my conscious mind. No, your subconscious actually overrode that and fed that up to you. So beautiful. We're going to dive into this. Now, you've heard my backstory, so I'm not going to, and I mean back pain story, but I want to share a couple of little things with you that helped us craft, if you will, the method, the Satori method. And I think that a lot of things that happen to us in our life, the beautiful things, are so often birthed through challenge, right? Think about all the different things in your life that have come along the way that have really been a pain in your ass, a pain in your neck, a pain in your back, a pain in your heart, and yet you've used it.
Yeah.
I think it was Bonnie who said the other day her father told her, enjoy your illness. And I looked at that and I read that and I was like, it's freaking brilliant, really, because if you think about it, dis-ease, right, disease, illness, is there as a wake-up call. And if you truly are present to it and use it, it can transform your life. So I can see why somebody would say, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Of course, they're not saying, oh, feel bad, good for you. They're saying, no, you're in a process right now. You're about to get a big upgrade if you use it.
Because you've been pulled out of the habit. You've been pulled out of subconscious. The situation has put you in a newness that we call, and we call new challenges usually.
That's right. Well, with the backstory, if we go there just for a moment, because I know you guys can relate to this, the things that have shown up that have really caused you to have to stop, right? Like you can't be the same person you've been. And as hard as you might try, right? You try to fix a situation, get it to go away so you can continue going along as you've been going along. But the universe, if you will, the soul, if you will, that deeper self that says, no, you came here with a bigger mission. I got to shake things up for you a little bit. It doesn't feel like that. That's that whole saying that I love, like suffering is grace in disguise. You're like, wait a minute. No. Let's get back on track here. I was living my life and it was all good. Oh, this is such a pain in the ass. No. Hold up. Hold up for a second here. You've been asking for something more. Couldn't this be a messenger in disguise that's saying, hey, you ready for that upgrade now? You've been asking for this. So I came across, we've been cleaning up some things in the house and the garage and just creating space for new. I came across something that was written in 1987, back in the day when I was just a young little buck. It's called Tung Sudo, Much More Than Self-Defense by Tristan Truscott. And this is my essay that I wrote to my karate teacher, and I have not read this. I just found this in an old, like a notebook vault, and it's from 1987. I want to read a couple of little things for you from this. It's it's a five-page essay, six-page essay, something like that. And some of you get to write one of these one day when you are getting ready for your black belt. So here's what I love about it. Maybe I'll just read it and then I'll tell you why I love this. But I'll preframe it with this. I did not realize that some of the things that are in here were in here. They were in my consciousness.
Yes.
That I started with Mr. Burbage in 1984. So I don't even know how many years that's been. Somebody can do the math for me, but it's been a while. I said to Sabrina, I was crying a little bit. I said, I didn't know my soul was already awake back then. I was starting to wake up. I might not even be able to read this. So here we go. In February of 1984, I involved myself in a Tung Sudo karate class taught by Mr. Bob Burbage. At first, I was skeptical about joining the course. Can anybody relate? Has anybody felt skeptical about, you know, doing some of the stuff that we're into? But after the first few months, I had fallen in love with the art. Since I studied the martial art, its discipline has greatly affected my life, as well as giving me many new insights. I can relate karate to a oneness with the universe because it has brought out a special kind of energy within myself. Hold up right there. I'm going to read that again just for me. I can relate karate to a oneness with the universe. I wrote this in 1987. I was 20 or 21. I didn't even know that I was seeking oneness with the universe, because it has brought out a special kind of, I'm going to underline the word, energy within myself. So the soul was here peeking through. That's what I said. Sabrina, yeah. The soul's peeking through. For over the past 4 years training, my perception of the art has evolved. Isn't that important, that our perception of what we're doing should evolve? The way and the reason. Remember when we asked, why are you here? Yep, I'm here for this. And then you ask the same question a year later. Oh, well, there's this other part of me that's awake now, and I'm here for that.
Right.
It keeps evolving. So from seeing karate as just a form of physical exercise to seeing it as a way of life. So back then, it had already become a way of life. It's a way of eating, sleeping, and thinking. Okay, so I'm going to jump forward a little bit.
You must have been so nervous writing this essay, wanting it to be so perfect and knowing your teachers were going to read it.
There were 21 black belts.
It's typed.
It's typed.
It's,
I typed it.
You know, like typed.
On an old typewriter.
Like an old typewriter.
This was like a freaking thesis for school. So there were 21 black belts that sat in front of me the day that I handed a copy of this to all of them. I'm going to jump forward. I was very doubtful about joining Mr. Burbage's karate class because I previously injured myself in different karate. I actually started when I was 11, but I hurt myself. Okay, and then they talked about my friends had joined. There was no way I was going to be left out in the cold, so I found a way to buckle up and get involved again. I was in and out of the class at first for the first 3 months. Well, I didn't commit. I wasn't all in. You know how sometimes some of us we talk about, are you all in? I'm like, chill out. Don't worry about it.
That's
go with
how
the
you
flow.
Were when you came to the meditation class where we met too. You were in and out for a few months.
I was the first little bit, yeah. And
I
then
was
when
too.
I was when I was in, I was in. You know when you're in, you're like, I'm all in at this point, right? Hook, line, and sinker.
I had to make sure they weren't full of crap.
That's
you
right.
Know?
You got to make sure. So we have that with our dojo. People test the waters. They come in, they check it out, and then all of a sudden, if it's the right fit, they're like, oh, I'm
well,
all in.
People were so used to, even at a young age, we're so used to people saying that they're going to be something and then they're not, or saying that they're going to get something and you don't, or... So I think it's good to be, what do you call it, like a...
Open-minded skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think it's a very important thing to be like that. I said I was in and out of class for the first 3 months, but after I received my orange belt, I'd fallen in love with the art, and I knew I would strive to attain the black belt level. Wow. Because one of my teachers looked at me one day as I was leaving the room. He said, you know what? You're going to make a great black belt one day. And I couldn't believe he said it to me. Say, me? Little old me? I can make a black belt one day? You believe in me? You see that potential in me? And he planted a seed. I don't know. You know, without those beautiful teachers in our lives and those mentors, they're so important, aren't they? Because they give us permission to be more than what we think we can be. I didn't think I'd be like them, because to me, a black belt, I'm going to be like my teacher.
Yeah.
I can't be like that. How could I do that?
Right.
It's so cute. At this point, I must admit, if it had not been for my instructors, I would not have stuck it out. Mr. Burbage's instruction, philosophy, and motivation are what helped form the magical bond between the art and myself. Without them, I would not be who I am today. I told you, it's going to be hard to read this.
I couldn't read it either.
Not because of glasses.
No,
I
got all choked up,
you
too.
You got choked up, too? This is crazy. So, yes, Kobe, they held that space.
You know,
vision.
And isn't it beautiful to be able to say to another person, not because you're worshiping them, not because you're idolizing them, not because they're better than you or older than you, just... Wow, without you in my life, I wouldn't be who I am today. And there's so many people that we should say that to, right? Without you in my life, the things that you said to me that helped me think a different way, without you in my life, watching the way you did that, I wouldn't be where I am today or who I am today.
I can say that about you, too. You say have been it. A great teacher in my life. The greatest of all. The martial art has greatly changed my life and given me many new insights. I can relate this change to feeling as one with the universe because the art has brought out a special energy within myself, my spirit. The main element responsible for this oneness is discipline. I really believe that. You've got to commit to something at a certain point and say yes
mm-hmm.
and go for it.
Yeah.
Now, you can call that discipline.
Right.
It's commitment.
And discipline,
dedication.
That can be a really soft word. It could be the discipline of where we were talking about earlier. I'm going to have the discipline that when my conscious mind is making a choice, I'm going to hold hands with my higher self, with my superconscious, before we give the agenda to the subconscious. Just that discipline.
Yep.
I'm always going to check in.
Yep.
And it's a soft, sometimes discipline sounds so hard. It sounds like you have to quit doing something you really like. That's what discipline is. Or you have to do stuff more consistently that's not fun. Yeah.
I said here, discipline is needed for most everything in life. It takes discipline to be an individual, to do what you feel is right, even though others may not agree. This discipline comes in many forms. However, it was first introduced to me in the form of physical discipline. And that has to do with refining the movements and, you know, working the craft.
But that's such a door in because through physical discipline, you have to embrace everything else. You have to get a focused mind.
Totally.
You have to be soft on yourself. You have to allow criticism. It's the physicality of anything like we have with Qigong and martial yoga is a beautiful door in to all the other forms of discipline because discipline needs a doing. You know, it's hard to be disciplined in a thought, right? That's why moving meditation, to me, is such an incredible tool as opposed to only sitting meditation.
In order to learn and refine the many physical techniques and movements, I had to demand energy from my body and increase my endurance levels. Gradually, I learned that by physically relaxing and mentally concentrating, I could perform better. Soon I was reaching higher levels of concentration, and by focusing my physical energy, I was creating a linkage between my body and my mind. From this point, my flow of self-assurance was being nurtured, and thus I was tapping into a special energy, my chi energy. What's going on here? I didn't even know that I knew what chi was back then. Now I'm freaking out a little bit about it because
yeah.
I learned qigong so much later in my life, but I was a surfer and I was around martial art. I didn't know
mm-hmm.
that I was planting these seeds in my subconscious mind. This is
chi
what we're
seeds.
Talking about. Chia, it's like
chia
seeds. No, but seriously, everybody check in for a moment. The life that we're living right now, we planted those seeds that have sprouted into today longer than you probably realize ago. The beautiful things that are here, you planted when you were a little kid probably.
Yeah.
Like, let's honor how beautiful our souls were, and we didn't even know.
The dream.
I didn't even know. Sabrina, I met you 2 years after this, and I thought that's when my spiritual journey started. It's been much longer than that for you too. Look at what's coming through here. It's so beautiful.
And the story that you tell when you were a little tiny boy and you lived in a duplex, and your fireplace and the person
on the other side
of the duplex, you shared in England a common fireplace and that you used to pretend
that's right.
that you could walk through the fireplace and there would be a girl on the other side that you could talk to.
And here she is.
Yeah.
You definitely were the girl on the other side of the fireplace.
You had to go through the fire to come and get me.
I did.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Oh, my gosh. Andrea says, you gave us the gift of believing in us in Austin at the summit. Thank you, Andrea. It is easy to see it in another human being.
It's so true.
It's so easy to see it. Kobe says, Tristan, Sabrina, honestly, without you both in my life, I would not be where I am today. Mind, body, one. That's so sweet. Yeah, we realize that some of you aren't reading this right now because you're not in the dojo, but you will have an opportunity to join the online dojo if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that later. Thank you, Kobe. Thank you, everyone, for just being a part of this journey. We're here together.
Yeah.
We'll continue. I'll just read you a couple little bit more, but it's really neat to read for me. I see this almost like I'm reading a little scroll that a black belt
mm-hmm.
or somebody who wanted to be a black belt wrote many, many moons
ago. And you kept it so safe. I mean, it's It's got like
it's kind of brown.
It's typed, you know, but it's not all wrinkled. You kept it very safe.
It's really, really. It's
I'm
bizarre.
Actually I'm pretty impressed with your grammar and vocabulary. What happened?
I know stuff, honey. Yeah, let me talk more. You'll see. No,
oh,
let me
gosh.
Write.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a little bit more. Just a couple more lines. Let's see. Karate became a way of eating, thinking, and sleeping. I think we have to just totally, you know,
because
become
you're using
it.
The word karate to mean like your budo, your essence, that that thing beyond the physical movement. You're saying that became everything for you.
Totally. These life transforming experiences changed everything about me. When I first joined Tung Sudo, it was nothing more than physical self-defense. Looking back, I was very shy and insecure. This lack of self-assurance was apparent in my every action, as I recall many fights and internal conflicts as a young man. However, through my training, I was able to develop certain aspects of myself. By accomplishing the many complex physical techniques in the dojo, I was reaching enhanced levels of confidence. Slowly, I was adopting the attitude of inner faith and creating a mature personality. This expanding attitude of self-assurance was the foundation for the man I am today. That's funny, the man I am today. I was 21. From the day I walked into the dojo to this point now, I have not had one fight in the street. I used to have a lot of fights. So, you know, the strong can afford to be gentle, right? The art was no longer just a form of self-defense. It was now a way of living. I feel that this practice of stopping the inner and outer conflict, which, by the way, is Budo, is definitely a way of life. With this in mind, the unison of body, mind, and spirit is what makes man and woman one with nature. Okay, so there's a little bit about what was going on back in the day. And what I love about this is seeing the power of the subconscious mind,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, there have been other challenges on the way, like the back injury, for example. I felt like that identity of the person I just read you was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it had to, right? The fighter, the stoic one, the black belt, like that had to evolve. And I had to go through another fire. And I was birthed into what was originally the seeds that were planted in that letter. I was asking for oneness with the universe and to tap into this special energy called chi. But I hadn't gone further. I had a limit of it. I had a degree
mm-hmm.
of it. And that next fire is what birthed what we are all sharing, you, me, our friends here, Qigong, the depth of meditation.
You're talking about with
Satori,
with the injury?
Well, it birthed me into
mm-hmm.
a new identity.
Yeah.
And so this is where we want to
take
the conversation.
And, you know, you wouldn't have said that originally. We would have said it stripped you of your entire identity because that's all it seemed like. It seemed
right.
like the injury stripped you of all, of everything. You,
I wasn't
who
a sensei
were you?
Anymore. I was losing my students. Don't forget,
yeah.
I couldn't tie my shoelaces.
Yeah.
I was totally going broke,
mm-hmm.
right? I was so depressed and angry. It totally affected our relationship.
And none of your subconscious buddy couldn't do anything because
it was so confused.
It didn't have anything to do.
I couldn't find a way.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I found
that's
a new
where depression kicks in a lot.
Absolutely, you lose sense of self.
Yeah.
And this, if you guys are listening to this, whether it's right now live or recording, we're constantly upgrading, and it's so important that we find purpose in our actions. I lost purpose because
mm-hmm.
everything for me had been through my body. And it was, of course, I love being physical and moving my body, but it had to do with finding a new purpose, and I found it. I said, I will do everything I can to help others to heal and transform, right? And I'll pay that forward. So as we're all evolving, invite the transformation.
Yeah.
It's okay for the identity, like the cocoon, right, of the butterfly, has to come out of the caterpillar phase.
Yeah.
So the power of the subconscious is incredible, and identities get upgraded. Sabrina, you
mm-hmm.
have a story like this. I remember when you were going through the dance school, and we were coming together, and this whole online thing, you had to totally let go.
Yeah.
That was your whole identity since you were 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How did you navigate that? That was scary.
I'm still suffering.
Well, I doubt that.
No, I mean, and that it was very complicated, that whole thing. I had briefly dated my professional dance partner who was not thrilled at all with my relationship with Tristan. So
jealous.
Yeah, and we were doing really well on the competition scene, and we were like the couple. We're on the cover of every magazine for ballroom dance and getting all the contracts and, you know, famous in our world. And then the jealousy of him over my relationship with someone else didn't come out as he was sad. It came out as he was mean to me. Just tried to almost physically push me around a little bit. One time tore my rotator cuff just being too rough in a lift, and just everything that I loved. I loved so much performing, and I just loved really performing and playing and demonstrating. And with ballroom dance, you have to have that guy, and there's not many male dancers. And I knew that I was going to kind of walk away from all that. And then really soon, I guess we had just gotten married. We were in a car accident, and we were in the back seat of a taxi that was hit head on by a truck and didn't have seatbelts on in the taxi. And it was more like a SUV taxi. Anyway, the airbags exploded, and one of my knees got bent backwards, and I went forward, and we crawled out of the car, and not like cuts where you have to go and get stitches, but just really banged up. And I don't have any cartilage under one kneecap at all anymore.
And yet you do so much. It's
yeah,
crazy.
And yet I do so much. You know, you do what you got to do.
You found a way.
But it also gave me time to reflect. You know, I'm making really good money as a ballroom dancer, as far as ballroom dancing goes. I can't make more than I make, because there's only a certain number of hours in the day, and I was worked by the hour. And what, looking forward, do I want to run a dance studio? No. Oh, goodness, no. I had run so many dance studios already, and that wasn't my joy. My joy was dancing, not running a dance studio. And so entering into, you know, with Tristan's healing, we're going to go online, and I'm going to do things I have zippo experience in, right? Like let's say academically, I would have said 10 years ago, I am super smart at a lot of things, and my greatest talent is I'm a great learner. And I did really, really well, like academically in school, right? I can memorize things and spit them back out and figure stuff out.
You have a good IQ, too.
Yes, I do, whatever that means, right? But I can't stand writing or spelling, right? Those two things, I'll do everything but that. And then it's just me and Tristan. Somebody's got to start writing emails, and somebody's got to start writing, as they call it, the copy. And I always say, you know, when we have to do something, we just stare at each other, and one of us has to give in.
Right? I'm glad I won that one.
And so I just had to, like, start doing it, even with all these ideas that I'm not good at it. And whatever that means, I'm not good at it. It was really just a fear that people were going to read my stuff and go, man, she's just not good. And my personality enjoys being good at what it does, right? As most of us do. And so just stepping into that and being like, okay, I'm a writer, I'm a copywriter. And then technology, I didn't want a computer.
She wouldn't even let me get her a computer. I had to sneak it.
Yeah, I actually was out of town. I was in Miami at the U.S. Open Ballroom and Latin competition.
That's right.
And I came home, and he
your
had
first computer.
One of my students worked for IBM, Andy.
And this one was a Gateway, I think.
I thought it was the same thing. And anyway, there's this laptop in my bedroom and an email address. He's like, here's your email address and here's your password. I'm like, oh,
no,
yay.
Password.
Huh? Yeah, and it's a horrible
every
password.
Every time she has to talk to technical support, it's like, sexy babe.
Yeah, and that's great. Thanks, Eddie. And so here, and then I started doing emails and customer support and learning things that I had said were not my cup of tea. But what was really fun is I realized that things that I loved about dancing was the learning and becoming good at a skill and the coordination of it. And one might be coordinating the physical body and the other might be coordinating compartments in my brain. And this everything that I started doing to bring the healing teachings online were completely new and not my character, right? And I was always the one in front of the camera, right? And now Tristan's in front of the camera, and I'm doing the filming, and I'm setting up the lights, and I'm trying to write and help script a good flow for him to deliver the content, but, like, he's the actor.
He became the director.
And that was my job before, and, yeah, so it's this a whole new character that I never thought I wanted to... My concept of it.
I was so impressed, by the way, because you had always been in front of the camera, and even as an actress, right?
Yeah.
So, or the dancer, and you're like, it doesn't matter. It's us. We are one.
Yeah.
Who cares? Get out there and do a good job.
Yeah. In some ways, it's a relief. No. But, and just embracing this change, I have to say, you know, first of all, I started studying, which was fun because I hadn't studied anything in a long time. I hadn't learned something new in a long time, and that's just a whole thing that if you've stopped learning new things, you know, go learn something new because it lights you up like nothing else. And I was getting on all these other people's email lists and saving their emails and looking at how they were writing, and this one guy in particular, I really liked the way he wrote, and I started a file in my entourage, and I put all his emails in there, and when I had to write one, I'd go get one of his paragraphs and move all the words around and put my stuff in and my stuff out. Now, this is like years ago, and wouldn't you know it, 2 weeks ago.
Is this the story from
yes,
a couple weeks? That's that guy?
We went to have dinner with one of our friends that was in town from San Diego, and he brought a friend, and he was that guy that I stole all of his emails, and he's like, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm thinking, oh, you're him?
He was your inspiration.
Yeah, I have a whole file on you. But
we have
was
to model.
My, he was my
model.
Teacher. I
yeah.
learned how he said things in such a... And he was actually selling something that was really super techie, and I was just learning the way he phrased things and then
That's
changing
right.
it to be more healing and personal development.
We need that.
But the point here is I was losing my identity as a competitive dancer because I lost my partner. I was losing my identity as the one in front of the camera, losing my identity as just like, the ballroom teacher, and that's how I make my money. And that's the way the mind wanted to see it. Instead of turning around and reframing it and saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to become like a real grown-up entrepreneur, not just a brick-and-mortar one. Because
right.
I was telling Tristan earlier, it's like when I taught dance or fitness, you do this one thing. But when embracing a new thing, I felt like online – you're able to, in a pretty simple way, your website is like the dance studio, and then you're the person that greets them as they walk in the door. You're the one that signs them up for the course. You're the one that takes their money. You're the one that teaches them. You're the one that tells them when to come back next time. It's like you get to play all those roles. And then seeing the excitement that I felt, like, I can do this forever. I'm not limited by how tired my legs are. I can do this morning, noon, or night. I can reach people all over the world, and I can tap back into the thing that I love the most about dance was showing visually the unlimited love and moving from a place of love and dancing from love, and I could just go ahead and talk about it without just trying to demonstrate it like a mime. And just changing that character. And you know what, honestly, and then we're entrepreneurs, and now the two of us are morphing into, you know, being teachers of helping other people start an online business, which is sort of a different character, right? It's not just, you know, me doing my thing inside my business and Tristan doing his thing, but it's us saying, hey, we'll teach you how. Those are completely new characters that we have to say yes and step into that require new skills and new roles.
Well, it was so beautiful to watch you navigate that. And I'll tell you what, and everybody's reflecting it here in the comments, you really are a damn good copywriter because you're not a copywriter. You share your heart like you're speaking with your friends. And I think that's the key to all of this, especially where we're going in a moment with upgrading our story.
Well, I told you what I think now when I have to write copy is say the things you're not supposed to say out loud.
Right.
And that's what makes it funny, and that's what touches people's hearts.
And you're being real.
Yeah, like when I just talked about the relationship of the conscious mind and the superconscious and the subconscious.
Right.
Say it in a way that helps people to understand it.
And we need to be like that with ourselves, right? So if we're wanting to upgrade a story, we can't create this sunny, rosy vision board story that's all bubbly and all of that and lay it on top of a storyline that is broken or is dysfunctional, right? You can't lay something on top of that. Will trump.
Like if your character
at the root
feels that it should live in poverty, you can have all the vision boards of the greatest neighborhood all over your walls, but
that's
your
right.
character can't live in that reality.
That's what
so
I saw
it will never work.
Reading the Black Belt story was that little boy, that young man, was planting seeds all the way back then and living and responding to life based on what moved him. Now, here's the thing, Sabrina. I think I was tapping in to my heart, to my soul. Like in Satori, we always say, and we opened the session today with this, is where are you coming from, right? At the heart of it is the heart, right? In the center of the map is the heart. Even in our business endeavors, we say start with heart.
Right.
And so when it comes to, now let's talk a little bit about what can we do to upgrade our story? Well, the first thing is to tap in to who are you really, right? Clear away all the noise, clear away the projections, the programs, and listen to that inner knowing. Now, there was this experience I was going through. I remember this.
When?
Well, do you remember this? We're both in the closet downstairs.
In this house. That was around 2008.
This story. Yeah, about 2008. And I was going through...
2008.
and I was, you know, we're already meditators and doing Qigong. I've healed a lot of things. But again, the power of the deeper mind.
Yeah.
You saw me struggling in a business arrangement with somebody who was doing some stuff. And I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting mad, and I was frustrated, and I was all of this.
Someone was doing actions that you didn't feel were integrity or in alignment with your friendship and
your and
past.
There's been a couple of times, and so that has all evolved, and it's been good now.
Right.
But you looked at me and you said, you know, you can rewrite the story. And like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You're going to give me one of those acting things. And you're like, no, seriously, think about the episodes. Like Brothers and Sisters. We were watching the movie, the TV series Brothers and Sisters a lot back then. She goes, well, every week they're writing a new episode.
Right.
The story writer's writing it, right? Mm-hmm. And think about the main character, Sally Fields, the mom, right? We're always rooting for her. And why? Why are we rooting for Sally Fields? And I'm like, I don't know. Why are we rooting for Sally? And you're like, because she always chooses right action. No matter what she goes through, what the challenge is, something crazy her kids do, we know that she's going to do the right thing.
Right.
You said that she's the hero, and we're always rooting for the hero. Are you being your own hero? And if you are, then people will root for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll root for you, and you'll root for you. And I'm like, I'm not being the hero right now.
Right.
I had to do a massive upgrade.
Yep. And that's such an incredible exercise to do is when, if you can take the scene that's playing out and the choices that you're making and the feelings that you're feeling based on the thoughts that you're having and almost like sit on your TV. and twirl the antenna above your head like a fire baton. No, sit on your couch and close your eyes and imagine there's this giant TV screen in front of you, and watch the scene that you keep playing in your head and saying, that's not fair, that really sucks, blah, blah, blah. And watch it and see if when you're watching it as someone in the audience of life, you would go, yeah, Sabrina, that's awesome. I knew you would pick the high road, and I knew that you would act out of integrity, and I knew that you would have compassion and do the right thing. Or, yes, Sabrina, I knew you'd tell him to go to hell and protect those kittens and save the world. Like, you want to be, I want to be the one that when I play the scene, I'm rooting for myself, because I know that even though, like, I may have a hard time, I know that the writers are not going to let me do the wrong thing, that by the end of the episode, I'm going to have seen the right action and I'm going to do good. And that's always up to me. And it's up to me because of only I can control my reactions and only I can control how I'm framing it. But here's the magical thing is when you're doing a TV show, they don't write all the episodes
right.
and then shoot them. They've only written the one and they're filming that and then the writers are writing the next one. As an actor, you don't know if you're going to be written off next week or not. You don't know if you're going to die. You don't know if you're going to turn bad. You don't know who you're going to sleep with. You
but
don't
explain
know.
Explain to us why they don't write them all out, because there's some feedback going on, right?
Yeah, well, a lot of it is based on, like, polls.
Viewership.
You know, if they were planning on maybe having, like, the cute guy die, but they find out half the people are watching because he's really cute, they're not gonna write him out. And if they did already kill him, they'll bring him back to life. Like, I was on Mr. Belvedere, and I was the guest star, and I was the girl. I played a high school senior. I got a lot of roles because I could play really young. And yet they didn't have to have, like, somebody on the set to teach me high school because I had already graduated. Anyway, so I think I'm playing a 17-year-old, and the young boy on Mr. Belvedere wanted to lose his virginity, so his friends told him to ask out Paula Sweeney, the easiest girl in school, and that's who I was. And it was really controversial. He was really nice to me, and so I just kissed him on the cheek at the end of the night. And then his buddy said, she's used to people being mean to her, and then she'll sleep with you. So he took me out again, and he was rude to me and didn't pay for my food and wouldn't help me put my jacket on. And I cried at the end, and I told him, you know, if I thought he was different. And it was this great episode, and it got all this fan mail, crazy fan mail. And the Variety magazine wrote a story up about it saying that how could a comedy – remember me showing you this?
Mm-hmm.
I have it here. I could take pictures and post it for you guys. How a sitcom could talk about such a heavy topic and that approached, like, morals and still have some comedy in it. So here I am, Paula Sweeney, the easiest girl in school, should not be Kevin's ongoing girlfriend on Mr. Belvedere. So they just decided to have me come back. Because the viewers liked me as a different person. So, the next time that I came back, remember when I'm, like, at the pool table with the – and anyway, I had a different name. But I came back to be his girlfriend as a different person. I wasn't
That's
Paula
hilarious.
Sweeney. So the writers certainly didn't know that. And so they're going with feedback, and I feel like that's how the universe works.
Exactly.
There's feedback of life. And there's feedback of karma, and there's feedback of reaction. So when Tristan was upset with this guy who, if you were watching the show of life, I think most people would say that that guy was underhanded in the actions that he took,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you could go and say, well, you know, he has family and his wife, and he's looking out for his future, and he wasn't thinking about your history and that you were his teacher. So they could sympathize with him if you acted like an asshole.
Right. Depends how you tell the story.
Right. But if you were just like, wow, this is not what I thought. This is not what I wanted. Okay, I see that I can't hold you hostage in this situation that I had with us. I'm going to use this to be open and see where it takes me. And in a way, that was one of the beginnings of us not hooking up as a couple, but hooking up in business more together, because
that's right.
That partner went away. And so that is just the most amazing tool to always look and make sure that you are being the hero of your life. Because if you're not the hero of your own life, who is?
Exactly.
Who is? And if you're not the hero, then we're usually the victim or the villain.
So,
and you certainly don't want to be an extra.
No, you
or
don't.
A supporting role. Like, it's the only movie you're a star in. Don't be a supporting role.
When you told me that I could rewrite the story, it almost sounded too simple. This is actually before we created the Affirmavisions and we created all of the Satori storybook. This was really the birthing of that, because I was like, okay, it sounds too easy, because, you know, I've had vision boards and things like that, but I always felt like, well, life is dictating, and I'm responding, and this person's doing this thing, and so I just have to navigate it and get rid of the charge and all of that. But somehow you telling me, no, you can write the story the way you want it to go, just make sure you're being the hero. I said, can it be that simple? And now you have to remember, right, we've all been in different stages of evolution here. For me, and this is much later in life, I was practicing the art of no mind.
Yeah, no pressure.
So no story,
yeah.
Right? Just being in flow, no ego, right? But the ability to actually decide what you want to be having in your head as your conversation and be the hero crafting that, writing that story, that sounded too easy. But fortunately for me, I listened to her and I trusted her. And so at the end of the day, the hero is the soul, right? This is the hero's journey. And the soul, in my experience, knows what to do. The soul knows like it knows like it knows. It chooses love over fear. Back to what we were saying all those years ago, where are you coming from? So now if I'm coming from the hero, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to write the new story, because remember, if you go back in time, like hypnosis and stuff, you can't change the story from the past. You can change your reactions to the story when you go back. But if you're creating from now, in the future, moving forward, then you can write a new story. You can upgrade the story. Right? You can tell a different story moving forward. But you want to get clear and you want to get connected. So there are different tools that we recommend for doing this. One of them, of course, is Qigong and meditation, just to clear the charge and get present in the now. And that's one of the most beautiful things. And if you go through the Satori map, you know that when you get tapped into spirit, it serves up that knowing. That hero knowledge gets delivered to your conscious mind. And we began this session today with conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. So I want to remind you of how those three work on the map. So you tap in, T to spirit. You get out of the way and you choose love. You choose the hero. The hero helps now the conscious mind to start writing the new story. That's where your journal is, right? Your journal is up in the O, own your mind. So you start journaling and writing, this is how I see the story unfolding. Then you go out and you test, just like Sabrina did with the show, and then you get feedback from the viewers, and they're like, don't like that story so much, not quite aligned. And then you try something else. This is why it's important to try different things. And then all of a sudden the universe goes, yep, more aligned, more viewership, more high vibes, more energy going up. You go, oh, wow, I've got a winner here. This is good. I'm going to keep going this way. One of that for us was choosing which course to create, you know, with Satori. Well, we got a winner. People love this. Okay, back to you rewriting your story. Once you get a winner, start programming it down into the deeper mind. Now, if you have anything blocking you, you can use Black Dog, White Dog. So in the story writing process, which I was in Black Dog Thoughts in the closet, and you were like, hey, you can be a White Dog. So you upgrade to White Dog Thoughts. Then you create your Satori storybook. You go down to R. That's where you're writing, or some people say rewriting the story, or reframing. We can talk more about that later. Mental Kung Fu is another tool that you use on a daily basis to stay in flow, keep being the hero. So when, because you know, we all know, you're going to have little things come up against and bump you and push you and split your focus, and then you're going to go, wait a minute, catch it, recognize, all right, let me refute it. I've already told that old story. That story's never served me. talk to the hand, and then you check in and you breathe and you do your Qigong, your meditation, your black dog, white, whatever, then you remember, I'm this hero. I'm this beautiful, beautiful soul. And then all of a sudden, what do? You reframe the situation, you rewrite the situation, and your deeper mind keeps upgrading, 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 and you send that out, and you radiate that every day, and the universe, the superconscious, this is where it gets sexy, the superconscious is on your team because you're in alignment with your soul, and you send that energy back through the heart center, back through the eye, and if you don't see the map right now and you're just like, whoa, what's he talking about? There's a place where you receive information, and there's a place where you send information. It's both in your heart. So your heart has a brain of your being, and you listen, you get Satori. Then once you get clear and you upgrade your mind and your deeper mind, you send it out. And when you send it out from that place, you are able to tap into the super conscious energy, and things speed up. And that will tie me into the very last thing I've shared with you guys lately, was the unicorn meditation. When we did the unicorn meditation, and if you're not familiar with that, what that is, it's a type of Qigong where you clear and you hold your arms in front of your heart center and you put this beautiful picture. The script writer puts a picture of the hero inside, in between your arms and your heart. You push that picture into your heart, and then you put your arms up over your head like an antenna, and you send it out to the universe, and the universe is listening. And you speed up the positive law of attraction. Law of attraction works in both directions, but if you want it to be one that's positive, beautiful, fulfilling, and you upgrade your life, that's a beautiful way to do it. Whether you're sitting or putting arms over your head, doesn't matter. Just live it.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Boom.
Boom.
Mic drop.
So, you know what's really interesting is that when you choose to consistently be the hero of your life, or let's say that right now you're thinking, you know, in this certain interaction with this person, we get engaged in something where I don't think either, it's just a... Maybe it's a negative where you get together and your two people are negative. And because that's a way of bonding, right? In society, either we both like the same thing or we're both against the same thing. And as you start to choose to be the hero, meaning you're now sitting on your couch watching you and this person interact, and you're listening and you're seeing how you feel about your participation in it. So maybe you shift some of the things that you say and some of the things that you do. It will, just like in acting, the way that I say a line is going to change the way that other actor responds. Sometimes they will love it, and sometimes they'll be like, who possessed you? That's not how you normally act. Because the ripple effect of choosing to be connected to your higher self is an invitation without saying, this is an invitation for you to be your higher self. I highly do not suggest you say that to anybody because they'll want to smack you. just be it. And it will kind of invite them to pause and see if they're being their own hero. And sometimes they won't like you changing. They're going to take it personally. It's like if you've been in a scene where you both have been enjoying, you've both been addicted to some thought that you no longer want to participate in, that other person might feel like, don't leave me here. It's not fun to just be in this negativity without you. So I just kind of want to bring that up, because I've experienced that numerous times, and it can go many ways. It can either go where the other person says, hey, you know what, you're really inspiring me, and I'm gonna try to go with the more positive. Or it can be, you know what, I'm going to find somebody else to be in this negative thing with, and then you have to keep rewriting your hero not to feel left out or abandoned, right? And so it will have a ripple effect, but that ripple effect is love, and it's the evolution of your character. It's the evolution of your soul, because we don't live as this isolated energy. Our energy affects others. And sometimes when we're growing, there things fall away, right? As a tree grows, it might lose some leaves and branches that can't can't hang around to this new version. And then to me, that's another, for me personally, that's always been another opportunity to be my hero, because I would feel like, oh, I don't want to lose that. You know, I get really sentimental, and I always have to know I'm never losing anything. I'm upgrading and I'm rewriting, and I'm going to be more, so I can actually love those people even more. And it might just be a little bit of time that it's awkward with them, and then it'll all come around if you stay in your heart, and also with a lot of compassion, which I didn't have for a lot of times. Oh my gosh, I would just say things to people as if they totally understood what I was talking about. I'm choosing to be my hero and live in a place of love, and if you don't like it, screw you. You know, that isn't going to work. You have to just have compassion and know that everybody is on their path, and a lot of it you will not share out loud with other people.
Wowza, there's a call for you. I love it. What a fun ride and what a fun engagement with everybody. We always open the lines up at the end, so that will be happening. But before we say goodbye, here's a couple of thoughts for you, okay? Number one is, how can you implement this inspiration and these techniques into your life? I would say one of the best things you can do is just journal. I know some of you are doing that right now. You're writing down your notes.
Yeah.
Journal to get clear, right? Like, just get out of the way, check in, breathe, meditate, do some Qigong, do your thing, and let that deeper mind speak to you, because there's an inner wisdom in there that is just dying to come out. It's loving to come out and help guide your path. I'm just seeing that again from reading my Black Belt essay today. There was a soul there all along saying, I'm here, and we are so, so beautiful.
Yep.
We deserve to let that light shine.
Yep.
Another thing is, if you're in the dojo, and let me just say this before, if you're not in the Life Force Mastery Dojo and you want to check it out and join us, we're going to do something awesome for you. Normally, we don't open it up until like 4 months, and we're going to do something in the new year. But if you want to get in and see some of the things that we've been doing lately, we did this whole training on the Affirmavision process we call the Success Formula, which takes a lot of this and simplifies it into a formula. If you want to learn how to make your Satori storybook, if you want to learn that unicorn meditation, unicorn is because they're magical, mystical creatures, and you can create some pretty amazing things in your life using Qigong energy that's in alignment with the heart and the mind. We did a whole training on the emotional spectrum and how to move yourself energetically from sadness or any other emotion that's not serving you to pure joy, and how to punch through the karma clouds using different arts and gratitude and meditation. There's a lot there for you in the dojo. We teach 3 times a week. We do our wacky wake-up workouts. If you want to try it and come on in and join us, just send us an email, satori@satorimethod.com. There's some very beautiful souls in there, and Sabrina and I are there 3 times a week to support you in your journey. And, you know, when it comes to upgrading your life and your story, I think it's important to be around people who will support you in change.
Yeah.
Because there are those that don't want us to change. They want us to stay the same, because when we change, it disrupts the relationship that we have with them. And if there's any dysfunction, mm-hmm. that makes them feel uncomfortable. Now, that's beautiful if they want to upgrade too. What you find in the dojo is everyone is saying yes to transformation. They're saying yes to change. They're saying yes to
yeah.
positive disruption. So you'll feel incredibly supported by that.
It
and
is.
I will tell you, sorry, babe, one last thing. I will never not be in a dojo. When I read that Black Belt story, that, and I talked about my brothers and my sisters in that class. That's why we're doing what we're doing, honey. It's because community.
Yep.
Communing together. I'll never not be in a community like this.
Mm. No, I was laughing because we say people don't want to change or want to stay the same, and that it's actually not possible, because life is constantly in motion. We can never stay the same. It seems that we stay the same if we just keep choosing the same thing over and over again, right? Like if you always have brown rice for every meal every single day, it's not the same brown rice. You're just choosing the same thing over and over and over and over, and people would say that that's not changing. But life is alive and moving, and it's almost that when somebody says that they're not changing, they're going backwards or just choosing the exact same thing again and again.
So in addition to journaling, complete your Satori story book if you're working on that. Learn mental kung fu. It will change your life. Meditate, move, do qigong. You know, work with the black dog, white dog. We've been working on that lately so you can upgrade your language patterns. And just work the craft. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Connect to your heart, your hero. The word Budo may come to mind, that core mission. And live that, you know, and always ask, where am I coming from? Where am I coming from? I'm coming from love. Love, baby, love. All right. Thank you, everybody, so, so very much for being part of this session. We love you dearly. We've got a lot of people on the call right now. We're really honored that you took the time out of your Sunday to join us and participate in this journey. So thank you. With great honor, we say that. Yep. And we'll end the recording and the lines will open up. So much love, everybody. And Sabrina will sign us out.
I forget we made up one.
We didn't make anything up.
Yeah, we did. There was this cool new like radio sign-off.
Oh, well, we want to remind you to love more, live more, and give more. And Sabrina thinks there's another one.
There was. I can't remember. It was like Tristan and Sabrina.
Oh, that one.
Off.
That
right.
One. The silly one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it.
Oh, me. We'll practice it for next time.
Okay. Much love, everybody.
Bye.